Now, being a judge sounds like it could be pretty complex, right? With so many laws and rulings and judgments, figuring out what the correct sentence is for each and every case that you're overseeing could be pretty daunting. Well, this is something that the CSIRO are aiming to fix with their new proposal, one which will turn the law into digital code, readable by computers. Now, these computers could then pass judgment based on the code, freeing up the legal system and easing the workload of judges. Sounds great, right? Well, maybe not. Like the courtroom itself, this proposal has been met with cries of objection. Joining us now is Dr. Joe McIntyre. Now, Dr. McIntyre is a senior lecturer in law at the University of South Australia, and he's here to discuss with us the possible pitfalls of this new proposal. Dr. McIntyre, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome.
So what exactly does the Legislation as Code proposal from the CSIRO entail?
Sure. So the idea that we can write our rules as code is something that's sort of been bouncing around in what they call the regulation technology sector for a little bit. And it's about trying to, whenever there's a regulation or a code, write it in a way that a machine might be able to read. And to some extent, that can be a really useful thing. So rather than a bank having to write their own program to interpret the legislation or the rules, the idea is that you might have a central repository that can say this is what the relevant regulations are. So to that extent, that can be quite useful. The problem is when we start saying, let's now write the legislation itself in a way that can be read directly by a machine. And then perhaps we can use the machine to read and apply the law and bypass the lawyers, bypass the judges. And that's where we start to run into real problems.
Right. Why do you think this is being proposed now? Like, what are some of the problems it may solve?
Look, the big one is there are major access to justice problems. We're well familiar with those. The law is obscure. The law is complex. It can cost a lot of money to comply, particularly when we're talking about a lot of these regulatory regimes that are very complex. And corporations and businesses can be spending huge amounts of money in compliance requirements. So we've got a growing demand for demand of regulation, and at the same time we have rapidly improving AI and technology. So at the moment we are right at that beginning point where they might be able to come together to offer something of a solution.
Right. So, I mean, would one answer not be to just simplify regulation?
Look, that would be a lovely thing, and I think we all love that idea. Until we get money laundering issues, or we get money being sent offshore, there's always something else that comes up, and we develop new regulations, and there's another regulation, and frankly, governments like to be able to pass regulations because it looks like they're doing something rather than necessarily doing something.
Okay, got it. Okay, so what, I mean, other than you mentioned before the kind of problem of law and legislation now being written so that a computer can interpret it, because I understand that's part of the challenge of laws, right, is that certain words in certain places of a law have very different meaning depending on where it shows up in the sentence. So if we're starting to write the laws so that a computer could interpret it, does that mean that potentially human interpretation of that is being jeopardized?
I think that's a risk of it. And I think there's a couple of several problems with this sort of proposal. Some of them come from that legal theory, the nature of law itself. And some of them come from our constitutional structure, and I think there are real separation of powers type issues. So in that first one, the nature of law, our law, people like to think of law as being logical and clear and that you can just look at the rules and it'll give you an answer. But that's just not the way law operates. There's always different opinions. There are always different conclusions. There's always uncertainty. And ultimately, that's why we have a judge, not because they get it right, but because we need somebody to decide. And that's the role of the judge, is to make a decision.
Right. Okay. And so, I mean, I wonder, like, I'm just trying to think, like, I'm almost picturing in my mind a courtroom full of computers and then, like, either a human judge or a main computer judge up the top of the courtroom kind of deciding on everything.
Yeah.
If the legislation as code doesn't work to solve the problems that the legal system's currently facing, what are some other possible fixes other than my I would say, genius of let's just simplify things?
Just make it simple, yeah.
Yeah. Look, what are some other fixes?
Look, I think the big problem I'm seeing with a lot of the legislation as code stuff is that the talk is that the code becomes authoritative. So that means it has some special priority. It is presenting the correct interpretation. And that's really problematic. That means you're starting to cross from the government that's writing the code is starting to cross into the role of the judge. And if we're saying that Parliament's involved in it, then they're overreaching in their constitutional role. So that's creating a real separation of powers issue. The interpretation of law is the role of the judges. Creation of law is the role of Parliament. And application and enforcement of law is the role of the government.
Right.
So we might be able to use some of this code as a service that the government provides. So they say, look, you can use this code. We can't represent that this will be definitive, but we might, for example, do something like say, if you use this, we're not going to prosecute you.
Yeah.
So that might be a really useful thing to do.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
we might be able... Sorry, go on. And there's, in terms of the courtroom, there's a lots of other ways in which we're using tech and AI. So we're looking at moving a lot of our smaller disputes into virtual spaces so we can have online court, an online dispute resolution. We're looking at using some forms of AI and big data analytics to provide some guidance, not to make the decision itself, but to help support the judge. So you have got the example of the sentencing judge. I can imagine a situation where the computer says, these are similar cases that, and say, this is the sort of range we would typically expect in, you know, 70% of cases. Now, the judge might say, this is, yeah, but this case is exceptional and makes the decision that it falls outside of that range. But the technology can help the judge.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so, yeah, and that, I guess there's even, you know, the possibility of data, big data being used to say, well, with this person's profile, they're, you know, 85% more likely or less likely to reoffend versus someone. God, I mean, it's kind of never ending, isn't it? The data black hole.
And that's where we start to get into real problems. We like to, in our mind, we say the law should be objective. And every time we see a judge making a decision, we scream bias. We scream that they're, you know, acting improperly.
Yeah.
But the process requires people to make evaluations. And just because we've got a computer or a programmer making evaluations doesn't mean they're not being made. And we've seen this in the US where some of this predictive technology is embedding sexual, racial, and geographical biases. So people are being presented with being at extra risk of offending because of the color of their skin or
because of where
they live. And that's really troubling.
That is troubling. So there's bias in the data already, and then it kind of becomes an echo chamber of, oh my God. I can't imagine the legal fraternity are too keen on having like their jobs replaced by computers. how are law partners firms then built if it's all computers, right?
Yeah, look, I think this is an issue that the profession's really struggling with at the moment.
Yeah.
We've seen huge change already. I think the idea of discovery, going out and going through documents line by line, was often a big money spinner for law firms. You put a junior lawyer on it, charge out at a huge rate and, you know, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And most of that discovery now is being done by machines. So that is putting huge pressure on the firms. But there are things that machines are really not good at. You know, sitting down with someone and taking a witness statement. Trying to see the patterns in the arguments and say this might, and drawing analogies and making persuasive arguments. Machines can't do that. So I think what we we are likely to see is a shift in the role of the profession. So it's that more high-end parts of the service delivery rather than the more drudgerous parts.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, Dr. Joe, we have run out of time, but thank you so much for that. It was so super interesting. I'm glad we got you on this week.